That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia live on X Spaces for the final segment of each show. 5-6 Syracuse will host the 4-7 Demon Deacons this Saturday afternoon on Senior Day in the Dome. We'll hear from you, and you'll hear our always accurate final score predictions. Now, Syracuse basketball has lost two games in a row against ranked teams. We're going to talk about that as well as we can. And I will just say this, and I'll leave it here as far as basketball goes for now, is that there's a lot of things to fix, especially on offense, but I'm pretty proud of them, minus the last 5 minutes of each game, roughly. I thought they played pretty good. For as bad as they played today, to bring it within six with like 8 minutes left, I thought was a big surprise. It's just how I feel about it. I don't know what we expect to get out of it other than a huge upset. It's not something I'm going to get bent out of shape about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Okay, so let's do this. All right, we're going to start with football, as I mentioned, and, you know, fun, right? Right. So, with that said, hopefully my original recording works properly because the backup recording is 2 minutes behind because I just started it. And might as well see if it works, Joe. That's when you talk.
What's that?
Exactly. Okay. Let's do this. Let's talk quickly about the press conference from the AD yesterday. I'll give you my brief opinions. We can talk about, Joe, whatever you want to talk about. But for me to... what I watched yesterday for 26 minutes is exactly what I thought I would watch for 26 minutes.
Kind of.
Vague platitudes, quasi answers, and saying most of the things you would like an AD to say. In his defense, what else is he going to say? Right? You got to stay positive. You got to do this, and this. A couple questions, though.
Okay.
The first of which, because everybody would love to hear your opinion on this. And there's really only two parts of this that really stuck out to me. And actually, they were in the same question. There's a guy asking questions in there that should be at every freaking press game conference, post game press conference, or pre game press conference. And he's an older gentleman, and I don't know his name, Joe. Did you? You couldn't?
No, I still couldn't figure it out. No. I didn't hear it.
Interesting. Three things stuck out. One of them you brought up that I actually missed. The first thing is, how do you feel about an athletic director naming names of athletes that left the program when he's asked about NIL?
Yeah.
What are your like just like surface level thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that he's grasping for every straw. And we just happened to have some players that transferred that weren't as successful. And I know that we talked about it throughout the season, but for an 80 to kind of go that low, to use those kids as his scapegoat, like as to like try to prove the point that like, oh, you know, we don't got to pay. The grass isn't always greener type stuff. I mean,
Now
that's kind of where what I took from it was it's like you're kind of using the kids examples, kids that may regret their decision. Maybe they don't. But nonetheless, they most likely left because there was other teams that showed them, you know, that they were worth more. Right.
Right.
And when you're a kid, I mean, that's all you're looking for, right? Really, right? Is what's your worth and who's going to treat you like it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to follow that, especially if they're bigger teams.
Especially depending on where you come from.
And there's also the socioeconomical situation of what your financial situation in your family is. So there's a lot there. So to sit there and kind of use that is like...
As a cudgel to...
It's, right.
You know,
I mean, well, I think that's not... I mean, you're running around the answer to use maybe kids' experiences that maybe didn't work out the way that they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, you know, yeah, well, maybe, you know, in the future, we're going to work harder to get these kids what they deserve so that they could stay here. Right.
Like, and he admitted like this is almost a self-own in the aspect of the entire question. In almost almost like a rebuttal to his own point, which is that, first of all, we don't know what they were making in NIL here, and we don't know what they left for. But when he's talking about it, and he's naming names, and he's saying, well, you know, Deuce Chestnut, you know, he didn't, you know, he's, I don't even know if he's on a roster at all anymore. You know, he could have been a starter here, and, you know, so what you're saying is, Do you, that's a cell phone. You know what I mean? Like, you could have been starting here, but you go there for, you know, we assume more money. Yeah, he didn't say that. Yeah. But now you're not. And is that's almost a cell phone. Like, yeah, that's the point, though. Like, they were bought from under you. We know that's the case because Baber said it. And to say otherwise is a fallacy. It's not true. You talk about Jawar Jordan. No. We know Jawar Jordan left for different reasons. And it was kind of on the cusp of the NIL stuff, right, Joe? But, you know, to talk about Juice Chestnut and there was another one he mentioned.
Jahad Carter.
Yeah. And talking about their play time at where they're at, but they could have been, you know, starters here. Well, that's a cell phone. You just totally obliterated your point. And you named names doing it.
Right. And through their business out there.
Like, I don't... That's... Who?
I don't know.
That was just not
a good look.
No,
that was my
why?
Thing. It's like, and that's what I was going to say, because I know you're going to get to your two other points, but at some, he was answering the questions the way, you know, like you said, just kind of the way you think they would, you know, just
basic
playing the game, you know, basic coach speak stuff, right?
Yeah.
But at some point, there were some people that started throwing some tough questions out there. And I felt like you saw his kind of demeanor change a little bit. And I don't think he liked the questions that were being answered. And I don't think that he necessarily answered them great. And this was one of them.
And the second part of that question was supposed to be about the NIL, like the future of the NIL and this and that. And he skirted around all that too. I mean, he was specifically asked, you know, what kind of budget... You know, I thought these were good questions that I knew they weren't going to get the answers to when they were first asked, but at least they were asked.
And they need to start being asked.
Yes, they need to start being answered too. But I thought that there's a few people. Chris Carlson, you mentioned earlier. He asked a tough one. Second one he asked, I thought was kind of tough. And there was another gentleman in there, a younger guy. I think I can't remember his name, and forgive me, but you know, he asked, you know, specifically about the budget and things like that. And you know, that's an invite only type of thing, that press conference, right? I mean, don't you think?
Oh, you got to have the credentials, right?
Yeah. So anyways, I'm just saying that a lot of those guys, I don't remember ever seeing or hearing their voices in, maybe I'm wrong. could be totally wrong, but I'm specifically talking about that elderly guy. I say elderly, the older gentleman. I mean, I'm 45, so I'm getting elderly too. But you know, he didn't answer any of the money questions, and I just feel like he skirted around those. And then, to your point, and we talked for about 10 minutes earlier today, you know, he mentions Micron. Dude, we just talked about this shit. Like, what? Yeah. What? Like, why?
Just talked about it, and then all of a sudden he throws a plug for it.
Yeah, like, dude, okay, well, what's your job, Severed? Is your job to create the
economy?
It's not
even Severed. He brought it up.
I know he brought it up.
Director.
I know. So what's the tie, right, Joe? That's the big question. Well, what's the tie? And
I hope there's a tie. Otherwise, I wish we had concentrating on things outside of the university more than
weird. You know why? I mean, I'll tell you what my thought is. You think about this from a lobbyist / political standpoint. Why? Line them pockets.
Yeah.
Line them pockets. So maybe Micron, maybe Micron's a big donor. Yeah, you got these anonymous donors now. Know everybody, you know what I'm saying? So look.
Maybe they got a trick up their sleeve. We don't know. Maybe this could be something that changes the game.
Maybe, but you think somebody in media would be a little bit curious to ask.
I mean, we put two and two together, so
very
if we
quickly.
Could do it,
yeah, you did.
I mean, we probably could have done it quicker if we actually thought about it. But
and
yeah, I haven't heard anything about this, and
I have. Since you pulled all that up while we were taking calls in the last show, I want to do a deeper dive into this and throw it out on social media. And I think we will. I've just got to have time to do it, as I'm just extremely busy and I haven't had time. So but it's there. And I think what you and I need to do is get some things together and post it out on social media. Someone needs to start. And look.
And like, look, this doesn't even have to be a negative.
No, overall, that's what I'm saying.
Right? I mean, that's my thing. Is it's like, they you got to get to the bottom of it to figure out, because this could end up being a positive. I mean, you're talking about a multi-billion company who's bringing microchips to upstate New York. Big manufacturing facility. 50,000 jobs, I believe, they're bringing. So
that's
going to boost
me.
The economy, right?
Right, and that's a good
and
thing.
We talked about that. You know, do they make a different – you know, building where they bring in those type of engineering and they have that engineering school so that, you know, it's kind of a local type thing, right? You can have internships and stuff. We talked about that. And of course, if it brings donor money or NIL money, then that's a plus too. We're not saying it's a negative, you know, but at the end of the day, if this is really what's going on, then we need to know what's the positives going out of it, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not necessarily nefarious because, I mean, it is wide open. It's just there are questions that need to be asked by people who have more access than a couple of knuckleheads down south doing a podcast
with other full-time jobs in the life.
With actual other jobs. And like, obviously Severed's got a part-time job. So what's going on? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. So look,
hopefully we can get to that point, right? And another thing you brought up too was when he brought up, you know, our peers. He kept going, we're our peers.
Yeah, who's our peers?
And it's like, be specific. Who are our peers? Are you talking Clemson? Are you talking Pittsburgh? Boston College? Are you talking Colgate? I mean, who are our peers? Vanderbilt?
Old Big East rivals, you know? You would have to assume he's talking about the ACC, but then you got to know enough to realize that that's not correct. That's just gaslighting us.
Yeah. So, because you're not putting in the investment.
Yeah. So who is it? Who's our peers? And, you know, that's kind of the vague stuff that I was talking about. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know, I don't have a vendetta or anything against all this stuff, but I'm someone who's very, very, I'm not only cautiously optimistic, I am skeptical. I'm a cynical guy. I'm skeptical. The years of COVID really, really brought all that stuff out of me. I already was heading that direction. But
I'm a guy about accountability, you know.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I mean, if there's a problem, let's do root cause analysis. Let's figure it out. That's kind of where I come from. So, you know, I'm not okay with the answers that he gave. And to me, even yesterday, you know, what's the best answer he could give? November. What Dino's done in November. Like, that's the best answer. Like, okay. But, yeah. Like, out of all the other answers he gave and he didn't answer them, and he was using players as scapegoats and, you know, our peers without being specific and some of this other stuff. Like, I'm sorry, but you need to prove more. So if Dino was the problem, then prove it.
Yeah. And just along with that, there was a tweet. I mean, someone did some digging somewhere. At Q Sports 44, I'm not sure who that is. I don't know if that's an actual media joint or what. I haven't looked into it. But you sent me this. I saw it yesterday. There's fans, you know, kind of poo-pooing this as a jab at Syracuse. But, I mean, I think I've been jabbing Syracuse for years now. I could only make, you know, you can almost make a freaking podcast just out of that at this point. So Matt Rhule from Nebraska, obviously. Tony White on that list of coaches. And here was a response he gave with only mentioning Tony's name to a question I don't think is in this clip, but let's just take a quick listen.
Go get a job. I told Tony. I mean, search firm called me, asked for Tony's number. I said, yes, you should hire Tony White. Tony White should be a head coach. He's excellent. I tell Tony, don't take the wrong one. You know, don't take the wrong job now. Like, don't take a job with no resources. Don't take a job with no support. Don't take a job without a great recruiting base. Don't take a job, hear me now when I say this, this is deep, where the expectations outweigh the commitment. If I want to be in great shape and I work out one day a week, okay, you want to be a 10-win team and you're spending at the middle of your conference, okay, the expectations. So I do that with all my guys.
So, I mean,
it's great advice.
It's great advice, and you can't help with the conversations that we've had. And I'll say it again. I don't know if anyone else is writing or talking about this on their shows. I'm sure, I have to imagine they are. Joe, I'm sorry, I don't listen. I don't have the time. I don't even listen to stuff I want to listen to, let alone someone else talk about Syracuse sports. I'm numb from my own voice. Talking about Syracuse sports, the last thing I want to do is listen to someone else, okay? You know, and that is not to boost my own ego. It's just that I
or poo-poo on anybody else.
Or poo-poo anybody else.
So much brain space and time in our lives.
Because
so.
I have used clips. I have brought people up. There are some and I would say, you know, the guys at Brian Higgins, some of these guys out of the Q Sports Talk. Realm are probably the best, you know, and I don't think that there's a podcast, including ours, that can touch their access and their information and their smarts. So I'll say that because I've heard some good stuff, some stuff I don't agree with, but good points.
Yes.
So with that said, we have been talking about a lot of this stuff for quite some time now. I mean, we're going on 2 years with the NIL stuff and beyond that, some of the other things from that point and in between. And you have to imagine he's talking about Syracuse, and when he says, don't make sure that your expectations don't outweigh your commitment, which is exactly, like, in a nutshell, when he says this is deep, it's not just deep, it's a brilliant point. To say it in one sentence just like that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's exactly what happened to Dino Babers. Well, we want you 7-5. If this is what happened, right? We want you at 7-5. Okay. Well, all right. Where's the commitment at? Well, we don't know, but we have to imagine, Joe, that they can't retain a Deuce Chestnut. It's going to go sit on a bench somewhere. Okay. A Jihad Carter, you know, so you have to imagine
Linton.
Yeah, why let these guys go? You know, I mean,
Jesse Edwards.
Well, we want to go to the Jesse Edwards thing, who's a one man show in West Virginia, and absolutely, could Syracuse use Jesse Edwards right now? I'm just curious to see what all of y'all think about that, because
yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But anyway, a brilliantly said. You have to imagine, we all know what he's talking about.
No, there's more schools than Syracuse. But if you feel like he's talking about Syracuse, it's because you know that that's
kind of the
situation.
He just recapped everything we've been talking about.
Well, dude, let's be honest. Like, the only reason Tony White's at Nebraska is because we couldn't give him enough money to stay at Syracuse.
He'd be at Syracuse still. So, I mean...
And I bet you if Tony White's on the search, they're not trying to expect him... to pay, I mean, they wouldn't pay him $1 million to be the DC. You think they're going to pay him over what they were paying Dino?
No. And here's the thing. Well,
they're going to do it because of convenience and because of familiarity. You can keep a lot of the other coaches and try to get this guy at a discount. And realistically, if they're still not going to put in the investments and the commitment to him, then that's going to be head coach suicide. And it's going to set him back to where he's back to coordinator for a damn decade before he gets another chance at a head coach.
I don't think that he does that with the advice from Rule. I mean, in his own, personal accolades, I just don't think he does that. We talked, like, if anybody comes in, they're going to have to go ahead and come off of the ducats, man. They're going to have to pay out. Because you're not going to get anything better than what you had. If the coach was the problem, then you really need to take all of that into consideration. And
but it's not even about money anymore with head coaches. With head coaches, when you come in, just like what Matt Rule said,
recruiting class, resources.
I don't care what you're going to pay me. You're going to make me look like a fool if you don't do this, 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 and this. If you can't do this, 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 and this, I'm not coming here.
Yeah, and we talked about that.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, and I listened to Tony White. He had a press conference earlier and asked him a couple questions about that and talked about how Matt Rule stuck up. And, he's like, have you ever had a head coach stick up for you like that and say that, you should be a head coach and you're good enough and X, Y? And he said he never did. He's like, I don't even know how to respond to that, this, this, and that. So he's never even had a head coach speak up for him and advocate for him to go and get a job and be a head coach like that and give him that motivation. So, there's no doubt in my mind he's gonna listen to what he's talking about.
And, just to drop back here on the same type of subject as far as some of the things that – and then we're going to move on. Some of the things that John Wildhack said you brought up earlier, you asked me, he said, hey, do you think that John Wildhack – because he basically did all but swear in a Bible that – he gave Dino the option to coach this last regular season game. And he said, I absolutely did. I didn't coax him. I left it up to him. He decided not to. You asked me if I thought that was true. I mean, look, you have to imagine that that's true because of how just, downright there wasn't a glitch or anything in his thought. He probably knew the question was coming, but Schaefer coached his last game, right? After being fired. And then, coach has got the opportunity and says, no, I have to imagine that if we're either being lied to like that, or he really did give him the option. He said, no, but you don't think that he was given the option. Your speculation is that that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense to me, only because, and it's not like I know this guy personally, and maybe he could have been so heartbroken of the fact that it happened, The fact of the matter is that we have a very winnable game on senior night on Saturday, senior day on Saturday, to where we can go 6-6 and then win a bowl and still have the same record as last year. And then we talked about the favorable schedule next year. So you have to go 7-5. But what if you go 7-5 and lose a bowl game?
Well, he was asked what was the difference between 6-6 and 7-5 too. Like, what's the difference? Like, you say 7-5, but what's the difference?
Okay, let me ask you this. If you go 6, what's the difference between going 7-5 and losing the bowl game and going 6-6 and winning a bowl game?
Well, to me, there's no difference.
Okay, that's what I thought. Me too. So to me, just saying 7-5 to me is just...
I just think that's the math that works in his favor.
Yeah, of course. And again, I mean, we may never know. But just to me, the way that this, you know, these kids love Dino and this culture that he's brought up, I don't know why he wouldn't opt to go ahead and still coach this team. So to me, like I said, we may never know. Hopefully we do. Hopefully there's some type of something. But, you know, these type of things, usually we don't find out. But to me, Dino has come off as somebody that wouldn't give up on his players.
It's a little odd. And you know, we haven't
that's not for me to say it's not true. I'm not saying he's a liar. I'm just saying it's hard for me to believe. And yeah. I'm allowed to have that opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, we still don't have anything, a statement of any kind from Dino at all. And we found out that pretty much Dino's buyout was paid for by donors. I mean, dude, read between the lines on that one. Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, what else is it? They come up off all that cash themselves? I doubt that. We had a caller talk about this, didn't we?
Yeah, see, but that's my problem is I'm like, when I hear that, it's like, okay, so your donors are more willing to put up.
They own the team?
They're more willing to put up money to get rid of Dino than put up money to retain
NIL.
The talent.
Yeah.
And you hit and use NAL.
Right, and we talked about that when we talked about the Lally Center, so, and all of the money that was donated for that.
Yep.
We talked about it, having a third of that to put towards NIL. We'd be screaming, baby. You know, this center's not even going to be ready for 2 years. So the payout's not going to be for 3 or 4 years. I mean, if there is a huge payout.
The next coach might be gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. It's a lot of time. Think about 4 years ago, dude. You know, I mean, that's a long, it feels like forever ago. It was 4 years ago, was right before COVID. It feels like a decade ago.
Yeah, it does.
You know, we didn't know what a COVID was. You know what I'm saying? A Corona. The only Corona I knew about was a freaking beer.
It was on the Lysol can already.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Because the coronavirus is the common cold. This is what they're saying. Yeah. Is that it kills the common cold. A coronavirus is the common cold. Don't mince my words.
I mean, look.
Can be. Anyway, we won't. That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah,
we could do
it. We're diverted.
All right.
Don't want to go backwards.
So. Let's just do this real quick. I don't have a ton of thoughts about it. I'm not even sure how excited people are about it, but we'll talk about it anyway. The all-time series between Syracuse and Wake Forest sits at 6-6. Syracuse on a 3-game losing streak, hoping that could be turned around this weekend on Senior Day. Last year, 45-35 loss for the Orange. Schrader, 7-31 for 324 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Tucker with 106 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. Sam Hartman, though, with 331 yards through the air and 4 touchdowns. Dave Clawson, he's in his 10th year as coach of the Deacs. He led the squad last year to the 8-5, and they beat Missouri 27-17 in the United Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. Pretty
nice.
Pretty exciting, right? The United Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl.
Hey, man.
So
money in an extra game.
Exactly. With Hartman transferring to Notre Dame, he went to go chase a championship. Hartman's favorite target also, A.T. Perry. He was drafted to the Saints. So it was...
Scored his first touchdown last week.
Yeah, I know. He was a stud. Surprised it took that long. It was Mitch Griffiths who rose to the top, won the starting position at quarterback. Griffiths, fourth-year sophomore. However, due to injury, it's Michael Kern who's taken over. He's so far this year 39 for 68 for 384 yards through the air with 1 touchdown and 1 interception. The Wake Forest offense ranks 107th in the country, and they're averaging 322 yards per game and declining. The 131 average yards on the ground is led by Demon Claiborne, who has 586 yards, averaging 4.3 yards a rush. Their defense ranks 68th in the country, allowing an average of 380 yards a game. And in that area, if I'm going off just pure paper, that area is a struggle for our offense. So they did have an exodus of DBs to the portal last year. And to say this is like a rebuilding year for Wake Forest is probably an understatement. They had massive studs leave that program. Mm-hmm. And it started with Sam Hartman. So You know,
we were at the game last year, man.
We were at the game last year. In the and the score's closer than the actual game, but it was still fun. We kind of all were hoping for a miracle that night, and it didn't happen. But obviously, you know, these things happen, and it's time for revenge. It's been three games in a row, losing to Wake Forest in 2020, 2021, and 2022. So 3 years in a row. And they've had our number, but I think this is an opportunity for Syracuse to go ahead and right that ship with another shot. The thing about this game for me, that's even just, I mean, like the name of the game is speculation, and we can sit here and do that, but I just don't know what is done differently to change anything. And, you know, like I said, I think their defense is just good enough if they were to game plan for what we put down against Georgia Tech last week, that they could be, they could give us a fit. However, their offense, and if Michael Kern's still going to be in there, I mean, their offense is terrible. I mean, their offensive line is terrible. It's terrible. I think the defense, if anything, for Syracuse is just going to have a field day. I think that's where and how, if they're going to, Syracuse wins the game. Our defense. Did I say their defense? Our defense.
Oh, yeah. And I think they're, I mean, it's home. We're going to be playing for each other. I think they're still going to be playing for Babers, even though, you know, they know that he's not there anymore. They want to play in a bowl game. So this is all about them now. And honestly, Wake Forest, they've been through the gauntlet, dude. And not only are they going through a rebuilding year, but you're talking about realistically the last seven games. I mean, minus a Pittsburgh game in there, you're talking about at Clemson, at Virginia Tech, home against Pittsburgh, which they won. And honestly, if you look at the box score, I don't even know how they did. Then they get crushed by Florida State at home, at Duke. It was Griffiths' last game, I think. And they gave Duke kind of, you know, 24-21, but still lost. NC State, Notre Dame, I mean, they've gone through the gauntlet. I mean, I can't imagine that they're healthy.
Oh, they got a backup quarterback in there, so...
I mean, this is the they've played three quarterbacks this year, so, and I think they only scored 13 points the last 2 weeks against NC State and Notre Dame, which again they have good defenses, but so do we. So, realistically, you just throw some wrinkles in there of what we can do, do different things, show some things that Wake Forest hasn't seen on film, and I think that we should be able to handle them. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be a blowout, but I have a good feeling about this game. Still kind of upset Dino's not there, but nonetheless, just going to watch, cheer for the kids, hope we get that that bowl game, that extra game.
Yeah.
For the kids, you know.
Yeah. For the kids. It's always
for the kids. For the young adults.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, let's make this segment quick, I think. Shall we? Yes, we shall.
Yeah.
I'm heading over to Twitter. I did ask for your final score predictions of this game. And, you know, you got enough responses to sit here and shoot the breeze about. At No Blanchard 44, 28-10 Cuse, the Italian Stallion coach Nunes and his passion protege Dan Villari dominate a much worse opponent as we make a bowl game for the seniors. We will not score their touchdown until garbage time because Caleb and Marlo show out in the last game of the dome. They will not score a touchdown, must be. Look, I think it's gonna be extremely hard for them to score. That was my point. I think that, I mean, talk about being one of these quarterbacks, and I think you can throw any of them at it. They're going to struggle. I feel like they're going to struggle. I feel like that's how we win this game. But at David7W, 24-17 Cuse, we keep it on the ground as both Allen and Villari get over 100 yards. QB situation is obviously hard to predict, but between our run game and the mob holding it down, I think the team sends our seniors off the right way. Let's go bowling. Go Orange. Okay.
Yeah.
At R. Boris 9, who knows at this point, but still have faith in Syracuse and this team, and especially the seniors, to make it to a bowl game. 24-21 Cuse. Then we got...
Yeah, that's close to this one.
Go ahead.
Keith from Facebook, 24-14 Cuse. LeQuint has a big day and goes for 150 and two touchdowns. The Mob does Mob things, and Valari throws a touchdown this week.
I mean, that would be cool. Be cool, too. Oh, never mind. I'll just keep... Sometimes I just need to not. I don't usually catch myself, bro, so be proud of that moment. Because
I was proud.
It doesn't happen very often.
I'm proud.
At Jeff Abramo, Cuse 23, Wake 13. Wake isn't very good, and Cuse just needs to avoid the in-game bad decision-making that plagued the Dino era. And then we got our buddy Luke. At Level Up Luke on Twitter. 52-10 Wake. He gives me no meat. He knows how to do this. And I just don't see that. I don't see... There's no way. Unless people followed Jeremiah Wilson, which is an understandable thing, too. And we don't need to talk too much about that. Unless we got people following him to the transfer portal between now and then on defense. I don't think they can put up 32. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, you have to understand, too. Jeremiah Wilson... He put himself in the transfer portal last year and then pulled it out, pulled himself out of there. And then he was the starter in the beginning of the season and kind of lost that position to Bellamy. So
he did, but he still played. I know, but he still played pretty good. I know he's got burned a few times, but there was one game in particular where he showed up. And I mean,
it was early.
They got moved to safety, right? So he...
I haven't seen him a lot lately, so yeah, I think there was something else going on in the background.
Well,
so
maybe.
My brother Alex as well has Wake Forest. 28-17 Wake Forest. Miss Bowl. Coach gone, and Syracuse won't have a plan on how to fix this as usual. If our university doesn't want to help our football program, then why should fans expect more every year? Basketball time.
I mean, that's probably about 40% of the fan base right now. So, at Cuse Mode Jimbo, 2017 Syracuse in a slugfest to help the seniors go out on a positive note. Okay. That's all I got, unless you got something else.
I got our boy Andy. This is a game where if Syracuse just wants to run it down Wake Forest's throat, they can and probably will and eventually break their spirits. Defense forces some turnovers and big plays and hopefully get a Gasparilla Bowl invite.
Oh, that's funny.
24-13.
It's like he's here all the time, that guy.
I know. 24-13 Cuse. By the way, no one is mentioning Manny Diaz as head coach. He'd be perfect. 21-15 is the Miami head coach, currently Penn State defensive coordinator, an elite recruiter, and still young and passionate as ever. That's my hire after reviewing everyone.
I don't know what we're reviewing yet. We just got some arbitrary lists. So I'm not
going to... There's a lot. And the last one, Dom. Our boy Tom, he just says, Cuse Militia 100, Facebook 0, Facebook sucks.
Okay, I'll take that. There we go. Caught the tail end because my fingers weren't working right. Okay, let's move on to our final regular season prediction, Joe. And with you picking Syracuse... No, we both picked Syracuse, but
yep.
You were closer. You were closer on the spread. So congratulations. Hold on. No, I'm sorry, Joe. You were not.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. You had your spread was 2 and mine was 4. My bad. Sorry to get your hopes up there.
Damn. All right,
so that means, we're 6-5 heading into this game, and you got a chance to tie it up. Now,
I get a chance to go bowling?
You get a chance to go bowling. I'm already. And hopefully Syracuse will be. But like I said, I kind of already let the cat out of the bag. I just feel like that this defense is the way they've been playing all year. I don't foresee this offense being able to do a whole lot. And, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see the offense and what is done there. But, you know, All of these kids are going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. If I had to put my money on one side of the ball, it's going to be that defense wins this game.
Yep.
I think the defense is going to put the offense at least in position to, who knows, maybe they kick enough field goals. I have no idea. But I just got to imagine that this Wake Forest offense versus the Syracuse defense is not going to bode well for Wake Forest. And if it does, then shame on me, because I got way more faith in this Syracuse defense. We've seen them do it every week, Joe. Rarely do they disappoint. Some lapses in coverage and things, that stuff's going to happen. But they're the one consistent thing through 11 games.
Against offenses like that, this, yeah.
Well, they've been, look, though, I mean, to be fair, I mean, I understand, but to be fair, there's the discrepancy with the amount of time they're on the field to the amount of time the offense is on the field has been a huge problem in keeping them fresh. And we don't have the ability to stay fresh if they're going to be on the field for 70, 80% of the game. I mean, there was one game. I think they're on the field 80% of the game.
True.
So you get all heart from everybody on this team, I feel like. I think we've seen it on offense, too. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that LaQuinn Allen's out there giving it his all, that Dan Villari has been giving it all, that Garrett Schrader, whenever he's been on the field, has given it his all. But this defense, though, is a unit.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that we've been missing on the offense is just it was never a unit, even when everything and everybody was at least and the healthier side. And that's all
well
I'm going to say.
Well said.
I think that Syracuse pulls this thing off, and I'm going to say, man, this is actually a tough, the score's tough. I think, I'm going to say, oh man, obviously I didn't write this one down yet. I'm going to go 24.
Okay.
That's a weird score, but I'm going with it. Oh, shoot. Running out of battery. Joe.
Well, I'm not going to take too long, but I'm going to go 27-10. I think I'm right there with you as far as the fact that the defense, I think, makes some big plays. And, you know, to level up Luke's, to his score, if there's any team that's going to be a blowout, I think that we have a better chance because of just how we've been playing and the fact that our defense has been opportunistic as of late. And to me personally, I think Wake Forest is the worst team in the ACC, and I think our defense is going to prove it this week. Not our defense, just our whole team overall. So
yeah, and you know, if I remember right, I think
they're on like some of these
they're
guys.
Like on a five game. No, they're on a four game losing streak. Wake Forest is.
Yeah.
So I mean, they were. It was a tough four games.
Oh yeah,
they beat.
I've already went over.
Yeah, they beat Pitt, but Florida State, Duke, NC State, and Notre Dame their last four, and just obviously not ideal for the Demon Deeks, whatever the hell a Demon Deacon is. It's not exactly, stop it. Not exactly, should not be a thing. That's all. Real quick, I was just curious. Yeah, 277 yards and four touchdowns for Sam Hartman against his old team. That's always fun, I'm sure. Yeah. So anyway, okay. Well, let's do basketball. All right, so two games in 2 days, and, you know, I think, if I'm being honest, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not, like, entirely disappointed. In fact, I thought it was actually not bad at all. You know, minus the last 5-6 minutes of each game where they just got murdered, you know, against two ranked teams. I don't know how much we can complain, but if you listen to, and I didn't listen to the post-game presser after the Gonzaga loss today, but I imagine it's
up yet.
It's, I imagine, I think you can, if you catch it just right, I think you can watch it live on Twitter from maybe some of the reporters that are in there. But anyway, I feel like it's going to be much the same with the offensive woes and things. But, you know, they started off hot from behind the arc yesterday and they struggled today. So it's kind of like the you know, the no consistency thing. But with that said, I mean, they struggled big time today shooting from the field to start that game. And how they got within 6 points with about 8 minutes or so left was, I thought it was astounding. I mean, I mean, you know, they had no business being that close. Now, they ended up getting blown out, but another valiant effort. And they led Tennessee pretty good at one point yesterday. So I think that these two games are really good learning experiences for them. And, you know, I'm watching UCLA and Chaminade right now, and I don't know who we're playing. So there's that, too.
Well, we're playing the loser.
Yeah, I know. I know that. It's probably going to be Chaminade, but they've hung in there. It's a little bit. It's getting away from them a little bit now.
14.
They started to bring it up a little bit better than that, though. But, you know, a good learning experience for these guys. Some consistency on offense, though. I mean, we talked about how, like, I just feel like they do a good job. They cut that deficit against Colgate by going to the hoop. Now, they didn't get to the line that much today, which is mind-boggling. Because I thought it was a kind of a physical game. And, you know, you want to talk about a physical game. You talk about yesterday. Coach mentioned it. It was a struggle from the line for Syracuse yesterday, 8 for 17. But, you know, they've shown that they're pretty good from the line so far this year, including today. But there was some, and I missed almost three quarters of this game. And I talked to Joe and he was like, look, you know, there was some, even Jay Billis was commenting on some of the way the calls were going, right? And Syracuse got, what was the discrepancy? 12 to, the personal fouls, 12 to 21.
21 to 12.
Yeah. So, you know, with a game of that intensity, you feel like it would be a little bit closer, either that or, you know, I don't know. Just not a lot of opportunities, but the opportunities that they did get, they didn't hit them like they've been hitting them. So free throws and obviously some offensive issues, especially from deep. And I think we're used to that. But like I said, I think they're really good at driving the basketball. And, you know, we mentioned Jesse Edwards earlier as a one-man wrecking ball over in West Virginia. And, you know, it would be tremendous to have a Jesse Edwards right now. I think, you know, things change dramatically if Jesse Edwards is still able to be on this team, because obviously we're lacking that type of athlete down low. And it's just one of those things they're going to have to adjust with. But I thought when we did a pregame against Florida State last year, and we talked about McLeod a little bit, and we, you know, think we didn't give him a whole lot of anything because we kind of knew that he was coming off the bench, and it was, you know, as tall and big as he is, he's just got to get it together a little bit.
I just think a lot of more guys got to get more confident, more aggressive, you know, young team. And that's really just what it is. Cause right now, I mean, I'm seeing a team that has, you know, 60% of their starters to me for Power Five schools or teams that are trying to go, you know, aspirations of the tournament. They look rotation players to me and not starters. And again, maybe that's because we lost Jesse. Maybe that's because Chance Westry got hurt. I don't know. But, you know, it's hard to judge. You don't want to judge. I don't want to be too rash and
that,
stuff
that's
like
what I'm
that.
Saying.
You know, I don't want to be like so judgmental and, you know, the first five games, especially after these first two, and just sit here and talk like, you know, I mean, Naheem McLeod's big for no reason, you know, stuff like that. I'm not going to say that, right? He didn't really have a big role with Florida State. So now that he's stepping into a starter's role, he's got to figure all that stuff out. And these guys are still figuring it out together. But
we talked about how young this team was too against Tennessee. Tennessee's got three fifth-year seniors that are on the floor at any given time. And you just can't, it's very difficult to match up with that kind of experience. And Syracuse did it.
Keep that consistency is an experienced team as well.
Because, and I feel like they did it, Joe. I mean, don't you feel like, I mean, I'm not totally, utterly disappointed with these two games.
Well, no. And the whole thing, too, is that you can see that they're emotional. They feel like they're good enough to win. You know, they go out there, they try, right? You know, they put in that the effort. You can see that there's a lot of effort. But there's obviously some places and some areas that we're not great at. And we can't be a team of just one-on-one and just taking jump shots and taking it to the hole. You know, you watch a team like Gonzaga and Tennessee, you know, they're moving the ball around, they're picking, they're rolling, they're back cutting.
They're way more active.
I mean, yeah. And that's the one thing that I've seen more than anything in the first, well, these two games against defensive teams, two teams that are, you know, looked at to be top 10 teams, basically. You know, we look so stagnant on offense, it's not even funny. I mean, even when someone gets the ball, pick up the dribble, like you're taught at a young age, like you got to run and go get the ball. You know, just stand there and just run around and try to wait for the pass. So a lot of sloppiness, a lot of inconsistencies. Great experiences against good teams. You know, they get to go to Hawaii and they get to see a lot of teams that that are going to be in the tournament and have really high seeds. And you know, they're going to get the experience of what a team looks like and what they need to do and how they need to change their game to be able to compete against these guys. So, but they better beat Chaminade tomorrow, 9:30 PM, by the way.
I'll be up.
And also to go
that's
with
prime
that well.
Time. That's prime time. I'm prime time Sean tomorrow night.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cause you ain't got to work on Thursday.
Cause that's I don't got to work. Yes.
It's Thanksgiving.
10:30 is usually my bedtime on the weekends, but I'm going to push it hard tomorrow. No, I'm not going to eat any turkey. I'm more of a ham.
Well,
and
tomorrow's not Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. So. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself. See, that's how excited
you
I am.
Are. But that's the thing is that's like one of the one nights, right? Is that the it night is. Before Thanksgiving. And then
it used to be the beginning
out and have a hangover and eat a whole bunch of food, right?
Well, I don't know about the hangover, but
well, I mean, that was the old days, right? That's like the biggest, one of the biggest nights of going out as far as younger kids and stuff like that.
Watch me still eat ham tomorrow night though. And stuffing. And mac and cheese.
You probably will. Half the turkey will be gone. You serve it on Thursday.
I'm not big on turkey. I don't know. It's boring to me.
Yeah.
I'll eat a turkey sandwich.
To go off of what you were saying, too, as well, like, that's also another thing that I didn't get with, like, Wildhack when he was saying that, like, in his press conference, you know, when he was comparing all, like, the football, you know, they could have been this, they could have been that. Like you said, like, that's the point. Right?
Right.
Is that, like, the point isn't, like, oh, look, you know, they went somewhere else and they weren't as successful. They could have started here.
Yeah. So why didn't you pay them?
What are you going to do to keep them here?
Right.
Right? Like, that's the whole thing with Jesse.
Tell me they wouldn't have helped.
This team would be completely a different team if Jesse was on the scene.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Even, it's just, it would,
even with Deuce and Jahad Carter, too. I mean, I feel like on the football.
Well, it's the same thing, right? He didn't talk about what they could be doing for this team and how they could be helping this team, right? He talked about, oh, what are they doing at these other schools? And that's where it kind of hit me wrong, right? Instead of saying, like what we said, you know, in the future, we hope to be able to have this money, or we should have gotten this money to be able to retain these players. It was like, oh, look, they went there, and this is what they're doing. I just don't like that angle.
And Bill Walton's a funny guy, but he's...
Thing with him is... He's so annoying. It's funny because he usually does, like, West Coast, like Pac-12 or Pac-2 now. You know, that's what he normally
California
does,
hippie,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's a deadhead and all that other crap. He says it. He's super funny. Like, I remember back in the day when I was
because he drops
younger.
Acid before he goes on air.
But it's if you're up that late and you got a little bit of a buzz, you know, and you're kind of half tired and you're in that little, you know, laughy mood, whatever the hell, you know, he's funny because he says some wild stuff.
He does.
But when he's on prime time at 2:30 in the afternoon,
it's 9 o'clock. It was 9 o'clock in the morning there.
Oh God, he was barely awake.
He might not have went to bed. But yeah, insufferable today. I was just like, oh my gosh.
And like people were airballing. He was like, that was close.
That was close. And like, how many times did he use that same joke? That was close.
A lot. And he's still, I think he's still calling the Shaman out of one too.
He is. He is.
I don't know how he's still up. Must be taking those Joe Biden drugs.
Yeah. Cocaine, Adderall. I mean, I don't know. We're terrible. All right, let's go ahead and do thoughts on the game from today. All right, we got Tennessee behind us. Like I said, I think I'm not disappointed in either one of these losses. You're two top 10 teams, and I'm not real sure what any of us would have expected. And you know, you can have criticisms with some of the offense and things like that. The end of the game yesterday, they were running out of time and rushing stuff up, but it's kind of no excuse for the beginning of this game. They got down early because they were missing shots, and they just kind of, they got it close. And again, shows the fight of this team and the grit of this team. And I think that's kind of, you build off of that. You've got the guys with the heart, and you just got to get better. And coach knows that. He said it yesterday. So anyways, let's head to Twitter and I don't know what's coming. And there's some long ones on here for crying out loud. You're going to do this to me.
Yeah, there's some in Facebook. They're like conversations. I'm not going to be going through all that.
Okay, all right. No Blanchard. I swear, no one must have us on blast. Whenever we post, he gets a notification. Can you do that? Is that possible? Because he's first every time.
Probably.
If you do put us up in there, thank you. We appreciate it. Expected, we cannot settle for threes instead of driving to the basket with the roster we have. Plenty of season left. That being said, people need to understand that it's going to take Autry a few years to get into the swing of things. Trust the process. I think if we have the right players with this team as young as it is, and you know, we're not guaranteed anything anymore year to year, but that's what's going to make it difficult. And he's starting fresh.
The NIL money, bro. That's,
I know. And we got to get there, but you know, he's kind of starting fresh with guys, a lot of guys that he already knows. And I think we're going to see a big difference from now until, you know, when we get towards three quarters of the way, halfway, maybe even through the season.
Recruiting.
Yeah. Well, that too, that comes, but you know, I think that the recruiting end of things is already picked up. Right. I mean, you know, we talked a lot about maybe how difficult it was to get someone here to play for a coach, other than being a Hall of Famer and things like that. Like, just Autry's just so much more relatable to these kids. And I'll take
Donnie Freeman today.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I my philosophy too. If he's not wearing orange and on the court playing for our team, then.
No, he already signed. They both signed.
I know that. I know that. And it's exciting. But
they're not here this year.
They're not here. So let's, you know, when they're here next year, we can talk all we want. But to my point, though, you know, that's, you can already see an uptick in the recruiting. And I think that improves. I think that comes. It's you know, the offensive game plan and kind of, like you mentioned, man, just be more active out there on offense. And
you can't just stand around.
No. And, you know, I think they'll get it. You know, to Noah's point, though, the long way around here. I just think it's less than 3 years. You don't have time to build teams these days. You can't, not like that.
No.
Not take a team and build it. You don't have that opportunity anymore. It's gone. So,
well, and the thing was we even hit NIL, but we didn't get like graduate senior type Scott. You know, like Tennessee, they had a good nucleus, a good base who've been there for a long time. And what they do, they went to SC Upstate in damn Northern Colorado and got scores, got guys that have been in college for 3-4 years.
It's work, man.
Now, yeah. We hit up the NIL pretty good, but we hit up freshmen, 1 year players, 2 year players. So again, it's going to take some time. We got a two man class next year. But realistically, just even looking at a lot of, I'm not going to go through all these comments, but I mean, you could see what it is. I mean, we were out rebounded 48-28 today, you know, 15 offensive rebounds, 21 second chance points. Chris Bell went 2 of 18. I mean, that's pretty much why we weren't as close as what we were in near the end. So a lot of it's consistency, and we have a lot of guys that are kind of one-dimensional in the way that they can score, right? I mean, we've seen JJ, not a great outside shooter. Okay, mid-range. He can take it to the hole. Judah, you know, he can hit threes, but he's more going to the hole, mid-range.
Going to the hole, getting fouled, being tremendous at the foul line.
Justin Taylor scored 0 points the last two games. You know, he's played decent defense and he's got some rebounds.
Leads the team in rebounds right now, average.
So. Right. Malik Brown, only down low. Naheem Cloud, only
stealing.
Down low.
He's got some Chris steals, Bell though. Is, Malik Brown causing the turnovers. Does a good job.
So it's just figuring out, are the guys what they're good at, are they doing what they're good at good, and you know, how many minutes should they actually get? Obviously no Benny Williams today, but Hema, he plays the first minutes of his whole season.
What was that technical foul that we got today? Because he wasn't
in the scorebook.
So they called a what kind of technical foul was that? I never heard that before.
Administrative
technical. And what does that do?
I have no idea.
Like, did they just tack a foul on, like a regular personal, or there was no shots taken?
No. Yeah, I have no idea.
Interesting.
That's something we might have to look at.
Yeah, I probably should have done that before we got on here and started talking about it, because neither one of us, we both sound stupid, which is par for the course.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. I wasn't going to bring it up, so.
I have no shame in my not-know game. You know, what are you going to do? I was asking you. I thought you'd know.
I wish I did.
At David Super. Hold on. Two things from David real quick. He brings up this point. Why is the 7-8 game in the 5-6 game after the championship tomorrow? It's a great point. Why is that? Interesting. I don't know. Time difference? It lines up better with East Coast time? That's all I got, David. Sorry. Second half, 8-minute mark, down 6. Zag secure an offensive board off Miss Bunny. By the way, Miss Bunny's to boot. By the way. Zag's three-pointer. Oh, yeah. Orange Miss three-pointer. Zag's another three-pointer. We go from cutting the lead to 3 to 4 points instead of being down 12. Game over. We miss Jesse. We win both of these games with him. David.
Ooh.
That's a bold statement, but we'll never know. We'll never be able to prove you wrong, David. So
because we couldn't give him money.
Womp womp. It's too bad.
Womp womp womp.
Our boy Nadal. Let's see. Not to harp on JT. He's an excellent all-around player, but how many air balls did he shoot this week? So disappointed. Mintz needs some help from some of those other guys if we're going to win anything this year. We'll continue to hope for the best. Hope that the best is yet to come. MF Brightside, Twitter, the offense is worse than under Boeheim. Four out dribble around. Hope you beat your guy. Again, not going to cut it against a good team. You know, it's early. And I get all of these points, and I agree with most of it, but it's a kind of a small scale sample for me.
And it's all depends.
Wouldn't you rather be in this tournament, though? Exactly. But
at the end of the day, realistically, like these two teams that we played the last 2 days, maybe just Duke is in the same conversation in our conference. Like everybody else in our conference is probably worse than those two teams.
You think?
That's me going on a limb.
A little bit.
Well, if you look at the rankings and you look at where they are, obviously rankings aren't everything.
Not right now.
But at the end of the day, it could be. There's not going to be too many teams in the ACC that are as good as this as the last two teams that we've played.
Fair enough. And wouldn't you rather play teams like this right now just to see? Like, that was kind of what I was most excited about, to be honest with you. To match up against teams like this early in the season is great. I know the kids are angry. I mean, Judah yesterday in his press conference, he was obviously not happy.
No, he wants to win every day.
Yeah, so. And I love that. I love that about him.
Team does.
Yeah, he wears it, though, like nobody else. You know what I'm saying? It is all over his face from tip to press conference, I just feel like that passion is it's only so long before it leads to wins. And you take away the last 5 minutes of each of these games and, just big picture thing to get these games this early, I think in the long run bodes well for any team of our caliber.
Yeah.
I'd rather be playing teams like this than some scrub tournament where we're just expected to win and, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and again, too, this goes, there's probably two or three different, you know, positives when it comes to this. I mean, number one, you know, if you are going to nip somebody early, you know, especially this hot, ranked this high, it's going to be probably early, right? When they're trying to figure stuff out. I mean, Tennessee yesterday, they lost a guy to injury, top two, you know, point scorers so far in the first three games were transfers. So, you know, you did see a little bit of discombobulation and, you know, things like that. And then you get, you know, Vescovi in foul trouble in the first half. And, you know, those are the type of games that you can kind of get away with early sometimes, right? And also, too, if you don't and you go out there and experience, you know, what a two or three or four seed in the NCAA tournament is going to be like. And, okay, this is what we need to do. Because those are the teams that are going to be in the tournament. You know what I mean? So there's obviously the experience. And then obviously there's the fact that it's going to help your strength schedule when it comes down to your resume as well, if you're lucky enough to get, you know, enough wins.
Yeah, and we start talking about, you know, quad rankings
albeit,
and all that.
Albeit their losses, that still goes towards your strength schedule, right?
Yeah. All that stuff plays in at the end of the year.
I mean, there's been teams, the NCAA has said before that we haven't made the tournament because our non-conference schedule wasn't good enough. And I'll tell you what, this year, that's not going to be the case. This year, they will not be able to say, if we don't make the tournament, they won't be able to say it's because your non-conference wasn't competitive enough.
Yeah. And you got Virginia early.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what LSU is doing this year, but, you know, have Virginia early. They're ranked early, right? So... and by the way, they just lost, didn't they? Didn't they lose last night?
They did.
Yeah. So, you know, heads up. I don't feel like it's nowhere near time to hit the panic button. And I don't have any of that on Twitter, by the way, not that I've seen, as just I'm scrolling through, but I did see some knocks on Coach Autry already. Like, come on, give me a break.
It's not the coach.
It's
like, okay, well, is he going to have the resources to be successful? And honestly, too, like I said, at the end of the day,
where is his expectations and what kind of resources he's going to have to meet those expectations?
And like, I think Chance Westry getting hurt early, I think was another thing that kind of hurt. I don't know what's going on with Benny Williams. There's a lot of, I haven't seen the press conference yet, but like, there's a lot of questions that I have. That I know I would ask if I had those credentials in that press conference. But again, it's obvious that he's still trying to figure out rotations, trying to figure things out. And they definitely have to play better together. I mean, we just saw two teams that just really played better together, you know.
SU wouldn't let us step in a press conference if we were donors, bro. Just saying.
Oh, God. I'm an Oregon donor.
I'm an NIL donor.
Oh, are you
signed
officially?
Up. Yeah, I signed up. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing the yearly. One lump sum. Two football this year, and maybe I'll do basketball next year. I feel like basketball's in a better spot. Give my money to football right now. I want to see change. You know, be proactive about it. At B Musso 222. 3-24 from three. Can't score for a second game in a row. How long scoreless or scoring 4-5 and allowing Gonzaga to score at will? Play Chaminade tomorrow and get right heading into LSU. Yeah, it looks like we'll be Chaminading it up. And they're a scrappy bunch. I mean, I've been watching them here as we've been doing the show. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I would expect to win that game. Obviously.
We have to.
Yes, you do. Yes. So, anyway.
Port.
Huh? What do you got? What else you got? Because I'm good. I'm good. I part of me can't wait.
I mean, there was
a
lot of iso ball, you know, open shots. We can't hit open shots and give up open shots. I mean, there's a lot of that, you know, scrambling and stuff like that. I mean, rebounding is obviously a big thing.
Well, rebounding's been a big thing for years. You know, shooting from the outside's been a big thing for years. Yeah, that stuff needs to get fixed.
I wish Buddy was 4 years younger.
Yeah, I know, right?
He'd be a perfect fit as a three in this team. But, no, you know, they're just talking about the rebounding, obviously, talking about the chemistry and all the different types of things going on, obviously. When you really look at it, you know, 12% shooting from the three, six assists, out-rebounded by 20. Ugh, I mean, the fact that we were even close in that game, you know.
That's what I was saying. But to be come within six, I mean, there was a 12-0 run kind of late in the game yesterday that
right.
kind of just, you know, obviously was too much to come back from. And it's those late game lapses.
Chris Bell did great yesterday.
Yeah, he played awesome.
He just 2 of 18. I mean, that's not going to be, you know, we can't make 1 of 10, I believe, from a 3-point line. Benny came in and played great yesterday, or at least gave a boost, and we didn't get that. So
he hit 2 threes yesterday, right?
So yeah, he went on a little spurt, but then it kind of just stopped. But again, I mean, he went, 3 of 4 for 8 points, right? 2 of 2 from the three with 4 rebounds in 16 minutes. So that's pretty decent, but why didn't he even dress today? So we don't know.
We don't know what's going on there. It's obviously something weird going on there. So,
but obviously Jake, he wants Malik Brown to turn into Dennis Rodman. Says that Malik Brown needs to cut his hair, color it red or green, get some tattoos, and start rebounding.
How about don't cut it, color it red or green? I think that would be a whole lot cooler.
Yeah, it's because you're a Christmas guy. Either way, and he's already got tattoos.
That's not anything to do with
and
it.
And he actually rebounds okay, too.
He does good, so, and he leads a team in steals right now. I mean, he's playing, you know, he is who he is. Yeah. I feel like he's awesome, and he's not playing where he's supposed to be.
No, and it's tough. So, and honestly, too, it took Jesse a little while, too. And Naheem, I mean, he's big. He gets a lot of blocks. And when he has his confidence, you see he does okay around the rim. But there's some times where it's like, I don't know. It's just there's a slow
lapses sometimes, in judgment and things too,
or just a slow reaction, you know, things like that. Yeah, it's hopefully that he can. I don't know if he's built for this style of up and down. You know, when I see this, you're playing man to man and playing tough and thinking that you're going to get a lot of these like fast break type. You know, and I haven't seen us be able to. And again, it could have been Gonzaga and Tennessee's defense and making sure that they got back to not allow the fast breaks. But, you know, I just think that there's guys that still need to settle down in the roles and responsibilities. And I know sometimes that's hard for JJ and Judah because, you know, they're doing their thing and, you know, they go to drive and kind of nothing else is going on and they feel like they have to just put it in their hands to make it happen. And something needs to change because obviously that's not the winning recipe at all.
Never.
They're great players, but
it never is, really. You got to play as a unit. Okay, look. Syracuse, Wake Forest, this Saturday, senior day. And
2 p.m.
Yes, it's a weird time, by the way, I feel like. But you know, whatever.
It's not a normal time, but.
But then LSU Tuesday. So we got a little, you know, we got obviously Chaminade looking like, and then Tuesday LSU. No, so
going to be Chaminade.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's Chaminade. It's 40 seconds left. But we'll be back here on Sunday to hopefully talk about, you know, a complimentary extra game, and we'll see if we get to go to the Doug's Fish Fry Bowl over in Spartan Stadium.
Jersey Mike's Bowl.
Anyway, God. Look, I don't care, really. I kid because I care, I guess. That's what it comes down to. But, you know, I think they get a bowl game. Who knows what the hell it is? That's my point. It's just one of them things. It's like, okay,
we talked about it.
Yeah, I know. But anyways, we will be back here on
Sunday. Where anybody else thinks or writes.
Exactly. We'll be back here on Sunday. And we'll discuss it. Win, lose, or tie. And it won't be a tie. So we'll discuss it when we get back here. And we'll maybe give you a little bit of extra for LSU, since things will be settling down a little bit. and we can focus more of our attention on some basketball stuff. So we'll see you Sunday. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.